I want to start this morning with reading an excerpt from George Barnum, What Americans Believe. It says, in a survey taken in early 1991, interviewees were asked, do you agree strongly, agree somewhat, disagree somewhat, or disagree strongly with the following statement? There is no such thing as absolute truth. Different people can define truth in conflicting ways and still be correct. Only 28% of the respondents expressed strong belief in absolute truth. And more surprisingly, only 28% of born-again or evangelical Christians accepted this idea. He went on to say, what a telling revelation. If more than 75% of the followers of Christ say nothing can be known for certain, does that indicate, as it seems, that they are not convinced that Jesus existed, that he is who he claimed to be, that his word is authentic, that God created the heavens and the earth, or that eternal life awaits the believer? That's what the findings appear to mean. If there is no absolute truth, then by definition, nothing can be said to be absolutely true. To the majority, apparently, it's all relative. Nothing is certain. Might be, might not be. Who knows for sure? Take your guess and hope for the best. Well, thankfully, we know we do not have to hope for the best today. To a person that does not know the truth, what I just read should be very unsettling. To the Christian, to the believer who does know the truth, this should be very unsettling as well, because so few people want to believe in the truth. But, praise the Lord, we know the truth today. We have a hope in Jesus Christ that is absolutely true and unchanging. Even though the world around us may fail and change and fall short, we have a glorious hope in the truth. The title of the message today is Truth or Error? Truth or Error? We're going to look at this topic in the next six verses of 1 John chapter 4. Our text this morning is 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. As we continue to study 1 John, turn with me to 1 John 4, verses 1 through 6. I'll read those this morning. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Truth and error. This section of 1 John parallels 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 27 that we've already talked about. In that passage, John warns against the presence of Antichrist in reference to false teachers. Now, John in this passage gives a second warning to his readers. This warning is against the spirit of Antichrist, who even now is inspiring false teachers and false prophets, as the verse says. The good news is that John gives us a way to detect the spirit of truth from the spirit of error. First, we'll look at the spirit of error. We will look at the spirit of error in this short section of 1 John 4. John cautions the readers in verse 1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. Do not trust, do not believe, do not follow every pretender of the Spirit of God. Not everyone who professes or claims to be inspired or claims to have new revelation is from God and should be trusted. I'm sorry to say, most, if not all, who claim to have new revelation from God are not from God. They are not abiding in God. Counterfeits, false teachers, false prophet, as the verse teaches. Their teaching, their version of the truth, at first might sound like truth, but as you hear more of it, you will find it is not truth. It is corruption of the truth. Is it an abuse of power to control the people who are willing to listen? Test the spirits, the verse goes on to say. We must examine the claims that are made to see whether they are from God. The false prophets would not only claim God, but they would also claim and boast of their inspiration by the Spirit. This warning is against the evil spirits, the spirit of Antichrist that inspires the existence of false teachers and false prophets. As we know from chapter 2, they are those who left the community of believers. The false prophet's success would be a problem, and was a problem, and they used this to authenticate them because of their success. Therefore, the need of a test to discern the presence of false prophets was critical. John gives a test whereby we can try these pretending spirits, these false prophets and teachers. The test we see in verse 2 is their doctrine. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. The test is, do they confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? The false prophets may have believed that Christ was the Savior of the world, but they would deny the connection between the divine Christ with Jesus of Nazareth. They clearly denied the Christ ever came in the flesh. Remember, the false teachers that John is combating in this passage is the teaching that Jesus was not on this earth in the flesh as a man. They do not teach that he was fully man and fully God at the same time. That is what John is arguing. That is why he keeps referring to what we heard from the beginning. The clause that Jesus Christ has come reflects John's clear view of the pre-existence of the Son, who came from the Father, and from the moment of his birth was Jesus Christ in the flesh, both fully God and fully man, teaching what he has taught them from the beginning. Jesus Christ is to be confessed as the Son of God, the eternal life and word that was with the Father from the beginning, as the Son of God that came into our human world and came that he would suffer and he would die on the cross for you and for me. He who confesses and preaches this with a mind enlightened does it by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God enlightens the mind. We see the test. The Spirit of God is every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ crucified. Jesus Christ come to this world to fulfill the will of the Father. He came as the ultimate example of love that we must follow. Only the Spirit of God will confess the Son and proclaim what was proclaimed from the beginning, that he did come to this world as man and lived a perfect life to be the perfect sacrifice for sin. Now we come to verse 3. And this is the counterpart to verse 2. It's a negative confession that we see. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. We have heard from the beginning that Jesus Christ was here in this world, and he was in the flesh in this world. We can be assured that any spirit or inspiration that contradicts that message is far from being from God. We see from this verse and also from chapter 2 that those who contradict that message, the message that is heard from the beginning, is the spirit of Antichrist. The source of denying Jesus is seen to be the spirit of Antichrist. John reminds his readers that Jesus warned that the Antichrist, with a capital A, would come. John is now announcing that in these false teachers, the spirit of Antichrist is already present in this world. We talked about this when we talked about the false teachers in 1 John 2 and verse 18. And that says, "And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come." God knew anti-Christian spirits opposed his spirit and opposed his truth. The spirit of error is at work in the world today. The spirit of Antichrist is working in the false teachers to pave the way for the coming of the Antichrist. We must understand the conflict between the false teachers and John. This was not a leadership or personality conflict. The gospel itself was at stake, as one commentator put it. The gospel itself was at stake. The spirit of error, the spirit of Antichrist, as we have seen in the world, it is teaching and proclaiming a false gospel, a counterfeit gospel, to deceive believers into believing a lie. Again, we know the spirit of Antichrist, the false teachers who are controlled by the spirit of error, the spirit of Antichrist, do not confess Jesus. We see the truth of the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. We see the error of the spirit of Antichrist. They do not confess Jesus. The false teachers are controlled by the spirit of Antichrist as they try to deceive believers into following their false gospel. Next, we'll look at the spirit of truth. The spirit of truth. The next verse starts, "Little children." We know this. We know John is addressing the entire congregation when he starts with little children. We know he is emphasizing what he is about to say. He goes on to say, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." John is encouraging his readers not to fear the spirit of Antichrist. We must watch for error. It is vital that we know the truth, so when we do hear a false gospel or a distorted message, we will know it is not the spirit of truth, but the spirit of error. We do not have to fear, though. We do not fear, but we must be mindful of it. John reminds them not to fear, for you are from God, verse 4 tells us. We know from the first three chapters of 1 John that we are the children of God. We are born of God. We are taught of God, anointed of God, and we are secure in God. We do not have to fear because we are from God, but also because we have a hope of victory in God. The verse says, have overcome them. We have overcome the false teachers. You have overcome the spirit of Antichrist. Do not fear. We have heard this before in 1 John. We talked about our position in the church in 1 John 2, verses 12 through 14, when John addresses the children, young men, and fathers. And chapter 2, verse 13 says, if you remember, I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. Then verse 14 goes on to say, I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. We can have victory. We do have victory. We have overcome the evil one. We've overcome the spirit of Antichrist. How can we do this? And how did we do this? Because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you. We have victory in Christ. We do not have to fear the spirit of Antichrist because of Christ. The word of God is our defense against the spirit of error. If we know the word, we will know the truth. But by knowing the truth and knowing the word, we will be able to see error when it comes, and we will be able to overcome the error with truth. We also have hope because who we have within us. The verse 4 goes on to say, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Yes, we are from God, but we also have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. That Spirit is mightier than he that is in the world. We have great hope to be abiding in him and he abiding in us. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. The false teachers do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them, because living involves fellowship with God and his children. The false teachers are without this fellowship. They do not love because they do not know love. They do not abide in him. The spirit of the Antichrist can be in the world, and the spirit of error, the spirit of the Antichrist can be in false teachers and false prophets, but living in God is possible only for the children of God. We have a great hope in him who is living in us. We also do not have to fear because of the hope we have that we are not of this world. Let's look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, they are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We know from the previous verse that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. We are not of this world. Yes, we live here, but we are not of here. The Spirit of God has enlightened our minds for God in heaven, but they are of the world. The Spirit that prevails in this world is from the world. The spirit of error, the spirit of Antichrist is of this world, and that spirit leads them to this world. Their heart is addicted to this world. They study the pleasures and interests of this world. Verse 5 goes on to say, therefore they speak from the world. They teach a worldly Messiah and a worldly message. They teach about a worldly kingdom full of possessions and treasures of this world. This worldly teaching appeals to and produces followers of this world. And the world loves its own. But we know the true Redeemer's kingdom is not of this world. It is not of this earth. It is not of this worldly possessions or treasures. The false teachers seem to be successful in this world because their thinking, their theology, is accommodating to the world's belief system. The false teachers make their teaching pleasant to the current affairs of the day. Therefore, naturally, the world hears such teaching and gladly accepts it. This could sound discouraging, that the world hears and accepts the false teachers and their false teaching. But John goes on to assure us that, yes, they might be from this world, but verse 6 assures us we are from God. Verse 6 says, we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. John is showing the contrast of the previous verse. Whoever knows God listens to us. If you know God, you listen to God. You listen to true teaching that has been taught from the beginning. If you listen to us, as the verse says, you know the holiness of God, the love and grace of God, the truth and faithfulness of God, the promises and prophecies of God. This knowledge of him will enable you to walk in the light as he is in the light. It will move you to progress on your Christian walk as you grow and become more like Christ. The person who is not from God does not listen to us. The person who is not born of God, who is not from God, they are walking in darkness, and they do not walk with us. They do not have fellowship with us, for they have abandoned the truth. The more a person is walking in darkness, the more a person is of this world and addicted to all the possessions and pleasures this world has, the more removed they are from the truth, the more removed they are from God. That is why we have a way to distinguish them from true believers. The verse ends with, by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Whoever knows God, meaning has knowledge through fellowship with him, by loving him and abiding in him and in his word. Whoever knows God listens to God, listens to the proclaiming of the word that is heard from the beginning. When people confess that Jesus came in the flesh, when they hear God speak to them through the gospel of his son and are abiding and are obedient to it, the spirit of truth is present and active in them. When people deny the gospel, when they will not hear it as God's word and will not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, then the spirit of error, the spirit of the Antichrist, is at work in them. How can we know the truth from error? As we have seen today, we can believe every spirit. We cannot believe every spirit, but we have to test the spirit. The test is simple. Do they confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? If they do, they are from God. If they do not confess Jesus, they are not from God. As we talked about, the spirit of Antichrist is in this world today, influencing false teachers and false prophets. We must be able, only with the grace and help of the Holy Spirit, to distinguish false teachers controlled by the spirit of Antichrist. For the most part, it can be fairly easy to spot a false teacher when they are teaching a false gospel, teaching a counterfeit message. But what about those who are not so obvious or not so blatantly teaching a false doctrine? We are assured that we will overcome them. We quickly looked back already at 1 John 2, verses 12 through 14, but I wanted to emphasize it again that it is very important at overcoming error. Young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, John has talked a lot about abiding in God and abiding in the Word. This is vital to overcoming false teachers and false teaching. Abide in the Word of God. Let me give you an illustration of this. The United States Treasury Department has a special division whose job it is to track down counterfeiters and counterfeit money. Obviously, the people in this division need to know a counterfeit bill when they see it. How do they learn to identify these fake bills? They are not trained by spending hours examining counterfeit money. There are so many different types and ways to counterfeit money that they could not examine and learn them all. Instead, they study the real thing. They become so familiar with the authentic bills that they can spot a counterfeit by looking at it or even simply by feeling it. You see, they are so trained and so familiar with the real thing that it is now easy for them to spot a counterfeit. Instead of trying to learn and study all the counterfeit bills, they just focus and learn the real thing. They learn so well that to them it is easy to spot a phony bill. This is the lesson for believers. We do not need to fear false teachers and fear the spirit of Antichrist, because we know from verse 4 that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Also, because we are abiding in the Word of God, we do not need to fear, but we do need to test. We need to know the truth so we can see error. Just like those highly trained people who track down counterfeit bills, we must be highly trained in God's Word. We do not go out and learn and study all the false teachings and all the false teachers. No, we learn and study the authentic truth, the truth of God. We study God's Word. We should know it so well that we can spot a fake, we can spot a phony very quickly. We study God's Word. We become experts in God's Word. That will make us able to spot error when we see it. We know the false prophets are in this world. We can overcome them by abiding in the Word of God. Abide in Him. Walk in the light as He is in the light. Let's pray this morning. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful and so grateful that we have the Spirit. We have your Holy Spirit abiding in us to give us wisdom, to give us understanding, to give us clarity on things of God in heaven. Lord, today I pray we wouldn't fear the spirit of Antichrist, but Lord, I pray that we would test the spirit to know whether it is a spirit of truth or spirit of error. And Lord, we do this by knowing your Word. Lord, help us to abide in your Word. Help us to abide in you. Help us, Lord, to have fellowship with you. Help us to love you. Help us to love your Word as we learn your Word, as we know your Word. Help us, Lord, to abide so that when false teachers may come, when false teachers will come, they will be able to see the error. We will be able to see the counterfeit gospel. We will be able to see the counterfeit message and know the truth because the Spirit abides in us, enlightening us, guiding and directing us. Lord, I pray you'd help us today. Give us the grace and the mercy we need, Lord, because we know we can only do this through your great love and through your Spirit abiding in us. Lord, we know on our own will and our own strength we cannot live day in and day out walking in the light. Lord, we need your great grace to guide us. We need your great grace and mercy to help us every day to live a life that is honoring, glorifying to you. Lord, that we may walk in the light as you are in the light. Lord, we pray this morning in your name. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.